The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony
what?
Rose. I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
Give the people what they want.
No, we're dark. We're preempted on television, but we decided that we weren't going to let the people just go too long without a dope pod to step to. So we came in today on the day off to do the pod exclusive, old school style, just me and you talking. I put all this work in. We got some special guests later. Deion Taylor, Michael Ealy of Fatal, going to join us later on the show to chop it up. Excited for that. And we're going to talk about the observations we have thus far in the NBA. And, of course, as we get down to the home stretch in the NFL, but I put all this work in to put the rundown together, and Jalen goes, I want to talk about Christmas Day and the Renaissance Man to start the show. So, Darrell Revis, the floor is yours, Darrell. Darrell Revis, go.
I came through the door. I said it before. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope each of you had a very Merry Christmas. All of you youngsters out there, hope Santa brought some amazing gifts. What your kids get for Christmas, man?
Everything. A lot of Legos. Legos were heavy this year, but they really wanted a dog. Like, my daughter Chloe was like, I'm like, have a good sleep. Santa's going to come. He's going to leave presents on the tree. She goes, when I wake up, the golden retriever will be there. I'm like, there's going to be no dog. There's going to be no dogs. Two of them asked for dogs.
Trying to get a confirmation.
Yeah. She's like, so when I wake up, there'll be a golden retriever puppy there. I'm like, they will not. I talked to Santa. Santa said, no dogs. He makes toys, dogs. Elves don't make dogs. They make toys.
So I want to bring everybody behind the curtain because, you know, this is a family-oriented show. And, you know, by the way, Jacoby and I look handsome today. We both dressed alike, black and red. Such East Coast and Midwest winter rugged looks.
Red and black, lumberjack with the hat to match.
No question. Of course, you know, it ain't right. It don't make me feel like, you know, it don't make me feel successful if I ain't dressed like the 80s. You know, when you see me, if I'm dressed like hip hop in the 80s, that means the black card just got extended. You know, trust me. And so,
you got the fuzzy Kango bucket on right now, for those of you listening.
Right. And so, for everybody that follow the movement, you know, being a public figure, you know, changing styles upon styles upon styles is what I have, Jacoby. You know, you don't care too much about your style. You know, you consider yourself the working
that
man.
Rude.
You consider yourself.
Rude. First of all, you don't care that much about your style, Jacoby, and then you just try to move on. That rude. Okay. I do all this research. I'm looking up all these Eastern Conference teams, the Western Conference teams, the playoff situation in the NFL. And you're like, I'm going to start the show and talk about how dope I dress. All right, go ahead. The floor is yours, sir.
No, you got to let the people see the beginning, middle, or the end. And anybody that knows you and loves you, when I start talking about you not caring, it goes to one relationship. It's how you treat barbers. Anytime you walk into a barbershop and you let anybody cut your hair, that quantifies as not caring. Just so you know.
Okay.
Is that fair to say?
No, not even close, but just go on.
Okay. And so, rude. You know, doing TV, you know, all of these years, trying to break down barriers, never able really to show up with hats and beanies and scullies and stuff like that. But I got to, you know, 3-month window to do that for the pandemic, you know, getting ready for Christmas, getting ready for the big stage. And I told you I was going to break it down, you know, broke the cut down. I had the Carl Thomas / Al B. Sure curl when he cut it down the first time, little mushroom on the side, you know, then I topped it off a little bit, the goatee, knocked it down, made it a little bit lower so it wouldn't look as much like an undercover cop. and then the next cut, it was the high top fade. You know, I showed up on the program with a high top fade. You know, I decided for whatever reason, not only younger, but cutting off the sides, Jacoby, make me not only younger, but make me look thinner. So you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna cut off the sides. And you know what, Jacoby? I can't front. And I was so very fortunate and best to be cleaner than the Board of Health. And anybody that's ever said my name or anybody that's ever worked with me, don't front. On Christmas Day, you had somebody text you. You had somebody call you. And they told you, your boy on ESPN, your boy on ABC, and he said he was going to be cleaner than the Board of Health, and he wasn't lying. I know that conversation was being had. I know some new Jalen's were being made that day. I know it. And I appreciate it, Jacoby. And so I want to share a couple of things with the audience to go into that.
Oh, we're going to keep going?
Well, yeah, just a little
okay.
bit.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Great, great Christmas Day slate, by the way. Great Christmas Day slate. Stars upon stars. All blowouts, though.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, dog, yeah, I know you were working at, yeah, lots of stars and great matchups, but not a lot of drama. Not a lot of drama in the fourth quarter.
All blowouts. So, Jacoby, I can't front. I'm going to just be real. So, going into Christmas Day, I knew I was going to crush it. Knew I was going to crush it. And so, I was trying to work with a couple of designers or whatever. You know, shout to Kenny Styles, who made sure I was fresh. Kenny, holla at Kenny Styles, my sister. Amina's final show. And a couple of people, Jacoby, you know, wasn't sending stuff on time, giving me the runaround, and the tailor was supposed to show up at 10, and he don't come at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I dealt with like two different
I know you
situations.
Were mad. I know you were
yeah,
mad.
Exactly.
I know that, Jalen. So, right. You get mad.
So just between the 22nd and the 24th, I was actually in scramble mode and ready for this, and hated my haircut. I didn't want to rock it with none on the side.
Oh, this is a crisis.
So, like, the 23rd, 24th,
this is a crisis.
I don't like my outfit. I got two suits that got sent for me. I ain't wearing either one of them. I cut my hair off the sides. I don't like it. I don't want to wear a high top fade. I don't want it to look like Russell Westbrook or CJ McCollum. What am I going to do? It ain't going to change by tomorrow. All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to dust everything off and make it a great day. Because all you got to do is be crisp and have confidence. Everybody won't know that you hate your cut. And that's what happened, Jacoby. And it was a beautiful day.
It was a great day. Thank you to you and Maria Taylor holding us down all day long on Christmas. I watched every single game. I can't say every minute of every game because at the end it started getting boring. Blowouts after blowouts after blowouts. And there's a football game on. I'm checking on that too. But I hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Hold on, hit
the
break. Whoa. Not just a football game. Alvin Kamara has 6 touchdowns. You know that's my guy. Told you he's smooth like Gale Sayers. And when Breeze got back in there, he was going to get featured whether Michael Thomas played or not. And we've been talking about that undercurrent. No other shows bringing this up. Michael Thomas signed a big deal this offseason. Don't seem to be seeing eye to eye with the coaching staff and Drew Brees.
Oh, it's Taysom Hill starting quarterback. Michael Thomas is healthy. He's ready to go. Drew Brees starting quarterback. Oh! I don't know, coach. I'll try and practice.
He's ready to go on Monday night. Wait. Yeah. Hold on. He got to it with a teammate. Like, hold on.
Well.
So that happened that day, too. Had to shout that out.
Okay, so one thing I'm not going to do is overreact to 4 basketball games in the National Basketball Association. All right? I think most of the teams played is 4 games so far. And you know what's not going to happen? Orlando Magic and the Hawks are not going to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. You know what else is not going
to
happen?
I'm not going to be able to do it.
The Nets are not going to be a 500 basketball team, and the Bucks are not going to win 33% of their games. So, like, we can kind of just take, like, the win-loss stuff and throw it out. But there are some trends that you can see. And now that you've seen the rosters on paper, and then you see them in preseason, but now we see them in regular season games. And when I called you this morning and I said, what do you want to talk about the show? What you didn't say is how dope I looked on Christmas for 10 minutes before we start the pod. But what you did say was you wanted to talk about the Eastern Conference and some of the strengths and weaknesses of some of the top teams. And I considered there to be like 7, sort of 7 playoff locks with a few teams fighting for the 8th spot. And you trimmed that down to 5. taking the Nuggets, the Raptors and the Pacers out. First, before we get to the strength and weaknesses of the other five teams, why did you sort of put them in a second tier?
Because, you know, I like to judge success off of realistic expectations. And there were five teams that looked at one another in training camp and said, if we don't win the East, our season is a failure. Of those teams, one of them is the Bucks, who have the back-to-back reigning MVP. And if they don't make it to the finals, it won't be stand on the table like your hair on fire because Giannis re-signed. But it, what it will do is continue to put Giannis in position to recruit other players to come run with him. But that still clearly will be a disappointment. The Philadelphia 76ers, they're still processing. As a matter of fact, they added Daryl Morey. They added Doc Rivers. Ben Simmons still not shooting outside of the paint, Jacoby. Mm. And you still need to load manage Joel Embiid. And so, if Philadelphia does not win the East, they're going to make a drastic move.
So let's talk about each team individually quickly. So you started with the Bucks, and here's one thing that really jumps out to me about the Bucks. Is they got a big three. Middleton, Holiday, and the MVP, stars. Look at that. They upgraded. But then you start looking at their second team and some of the players that get minutes and in the rotation. You're like, ooh, this team isn't deep. Listen, I like Vonnie Wilson from Michigan. Like that guy. But crunch time minutes, like a real playoff minutes. And then you got Bobby Portis, DiVincenzo starting, DJ Augustine. So do you think sacrificing depth for that third star was the right thing for them to do? Or do you think it'll be a problem as the season goes on?
So the thing for the Bucks is they'll have three all-stars this year instead of two, which clearly says they upgraded at the point guard spot with Drew, in particular scoring in the paint over Bledsoe. You're right. They're not deep, but that's one of their weaknesses, and that's what makes this interesting about the East, because of those five teams, each of them have weaknesses that can be exploited based on matchups. And so, in the West, the Clippers and the Blazers are built to beat the Lakers, but sometimes they lose to other people. And so for the Bucks, I agree with you, they're not deep, but their other true issue, Jacoby, is that their best player has fatal flaws that he has to fix, Giannis. And that's making jump shots, three-point shots, and free throws with confidence late in games. Mm-hmm. That's if I had to put, issue number one for their team, it would be that over depth. Because in the playoffs, you're going to shorten the rotation. They have height. Yep. They have versatility. But they're going to need him to do those things.
Well, the thing that concerns me the most about him is the free throws part. Because you can scheme and you surround him with shooting and you can do things to make up for his lack of outside shooting. Not everybody in the NBA needs to shoot from the outside, especially when you can score in the restricted area like he can. But when the free throws part, it just doesn't even look good coming out of his hands. It's a confidence issue. He especially in close games, doesn't like LeBron's same way. Like, it just doesn't feel like he steps the line like, I'm going to knock these down. You know what I mean? He feels like he steps the line like, I hope I knock these down. I'm going to try my best. We'll hope for the most.
And also, since you bring him up, because we're contractually obligated to bring up LeBron just randomly. I know you saw LeBron shoot that air ball free throw.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot that freestyle three off the leg.
Oh, yeah. I love the air ball free throw because I do that in my rec league. And I was like, LeBron does it too. There's no worse feeling, especially when it's the first one. You know what I mean? When it's the second one, they blow the whistle and they take it out of bounds and like the action starts. But when it's the first one, you kind of got to sit there and like sit in it for a while.
For real, for real. That's when you a made man, just won the championship, and your son is trending while you're about to play the game. That's really what that is.
You mentioned the Sixers. So let's go to them next. Strengths are obviously Simmons and Embiid. Doc Rivers. Got something that they needed that they didn't have last year, which is shooting, right? You know, you bring in Seth Curry, one of the best catch-and-shoot players in the game. You bring in Danny Green, who low key hasn't really been that great the last couple of years, but he got rings, okay?
The rings and things.
But the I love Maxey, by the way. Tyrese Maxey, like if you're not really if you're not really watching the Sixers games, he doesn't play tons, but he's got energy, man. And he got like a floater. He got like a Tony Parker floater that's just love it. I love it.
That's one of those under the radar J&J guys like we have with CJ McCollum, and then he gonna hit mainstream and everybody gonna realize how good he is.
So my question for you about the Sixers is they seem to be the most natural trade partner in a Harden trade. They've got a star that they're reportedly willing to part with in Ben Simmons. Daryl Morey's familiar with Harden's work. How do you think that affects the locker room and that affects their performance before it happens?
Jacoby, I got to hit the brakes on one important conversation we've had about the Sixers and the Houston Rockets. One of my favorite players in the league is Ben Simmons, but I don't like the fact that he's not attempting shots outside of the paint. That's an issue. If he's going to be your primary ball handler. And then the second part of that is not a free throw shooter either. So he's like a shorter Giannis. Without giving me the 13 boards, without giving me the 3-4 blocks, without giving me the 5 dunks a game, without giving me the 30-plus. Like, he has, like, those fatal flaws for your primary ball handler.
Better passer, better defender. Better passer, better defender.
You and I talked about this. You and I talked about this. I got to hit the brakes on something I said. I'll be in the room, and I was tripping. I ain't trading James Harden for Ben Simmons.
If you're the Rockets.
If I'm the Rockets.
I feel like the Rockets feel the same way, and that's why we haven't seen a trade, and they want more than just Ben Simmons.
I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Well, how do you think the potential of that trade, or just having Daryl around, knowing that he's on the phone with Fertitta and Sohn, how do you think that affects a Sixers locker room?
It's going to have the same effect that the Lakers and Pelicans locker rooms had a couple of years ago when they were trying to acquire Anthony Davis. And LeBron basically was talking about it out loud. And the young players were really frustrated and they couldn't grow. And the Pelicans the same way in a lot of ways. So it is going to have effect, but let's not get away from the marquee players. If the Bucks are going to get it done, Giannis. If the Sixers are going to get it done, Embiid, Simmons. That's what it's going to take. Like when Kawhi drove right, when the clock was striking 4-3-2-1, that was over who? Embiid and Simmons.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Kawhi because you said marquee players, and there is no team in the Eastern Conference with bigger names, with more potential than the Brooklyn Nets, who, when you watch them, you're like, oh, they got Torian Prince. Oh, they got Landry Shamet. Like, oh, yeah, they retained Joe Harris. Like, it's not just about KD and Kyrie. This team is deep. They got, like, three sets of different lineups they could throw at you. Two centers, two point guards, two scorers. Caris LeVert and a second team score. They looked amazing. However, Spencer Dinwiddie went down with an injury. How do you think the Dinwiddie injury affects them moving forward?
It now becomes their weakness. Depth at that spot to play alongside Kyrie in particular. Because as I watched Kyrie play over the last couple of years and now I see him play with KD, while people are going to look at him as the quote-unquote point guard, in his mind, he's just a shorter version of KD that want to get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his game is, and when he really gets going, he can make contested shots. Both of them are making contested shots, but without Dinwiddie to play in the backcourt, give him that height, that size, a guy that can score 20 points in a game, like, that's gonna hurt them.
It really is. Watching them, I'm just like, oh yeah, KD and Kyrie. They got KD and Kyrie. Oh yeah, two of the best players in the game.
But hold on. Let's put some respect on my guy Caris LeVert's name. You know, people saw him ball in the bubble. He was one of those guys, too. I've been telling him for years, like, he gonna ball. Then when he went to the bubble, people really saw him killing.
Jalen, why don't I believe in the Celtics? You tell me. You tell me why I don't believe in the Boston Celtics. You tell me.
They don't have a guy that can play the five and spread the floor and make plays. So I know that's what you want Daniel Theis to do.
And Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson is never stretching the floor.
No.
And so if you look at when they just lost to Indiana, you know why they lost? Because Indiana was bigger up front and more physical with Sabonis and Turner.
Sabonis killing.
That's why they beat them. And you know how much I love Tatum and Brown. But what happens, one of them got to guard a bigger guy sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So that means against the Pacers, one of them got to guard Sabonis. They're too little. I don't care what type of effort you have, what type of scheme you have. You know basketball is just a bigger, more physical guy's game.
And they need Kemba. They need Kemba. You know, especially if they're not going to have Gordon Hayward, which they're not. They really do need Kemba. And then finally, the last team that we're going to put in here is the Miami Heat. Basically the same team as last year. I love Precious. He looks like a little Bam Adebayo. You know what I mean? Like a little understudy for Bam. But Jalen, I'm going to use a word that other people have used. I'm not using it myself. But was last year sort of a fluke playoff run for this team?
I think it's the definition of when you have an identity like the Miami Heat and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which is why I say you could flip their coaches, you could flip their philosophies, and those are, you know, two organizations that mirror one another, is because if you think about it, when they went into it, if you saw all of the other stuff they was doing, like posting inspirational stuff on the wall and Big Face Coffee, like they were already in the foxhole. And so, like, that experience for that team and players like Tyler Hero and Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson, you know, a couple of those guys weren't even drafted. And so what I want to say is Pop is the legend, but when everybody starts talking about the best coach in the NBA, if you don't say Pop, you better say Eric Spoelstra, because that's who it is. He's coached all types of teams, all types of styles, and gets the most out of his players. And so I don't believe it was a fluke, because when the game slowed down, you still got Jimmy, big shot maker, lockdown defender, had a 7-steal game already. You have Bam. So if you're going against the Celtics, who's going to guard Bam? See, that's the problem that team runs into when they play against Indiana, Miami, the Sixers when they go big. And so, no, I don't believe it's a fluke, and I believe the player is going to continue to improve. And Miami will be in the conference finals. They taking the spot.
Oh, Miami's going to be in the conference finals.
Yeah, they taking the spot.
Interesting. I need to see more. Because you could tell me that it's the Nets and the Bucks in the conference finals. You know, right now, I mean, I haven't seen too much from the Nets, but I would probably take the Nets and the Bucks in a 7-game series over the Miami Heat to get there.
I don't know if the Nets got enough to beat Miami.
We'll see. We'll see about
that.
We got to move on to the actual playoff picture that is happening in the NFL. Let's start with last night's game, because you know I'm a die easy Bills fan. You know I started sports gambling, Jalen, and they're making me a lot of money. These Bills, woo, they're making me a lot of money. I don't gamble a lot. You know what I mean? I got to keep the numbers low just for fun. But woo, it is fun. Can the Bills beat the Chiefs in a playoff game?
No.
No.
I know you die easy and you're enthusiastic about your squad. And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but.
Okay. Let me make a case for you.
Not going to be able to do it.
So, Jay, you know every time the Chiefs win, I say the same thing to our producer, Demetrius. I say, give me the full screen of their margin of victory for the past 5 games. And then they do it again. For the past 6 games. And then they do it again. For the past 7 games. Who did they play last weekend? Oh, the Falcons. Were they down in the fourth quarter? They played the Falcons, Jalen. And they had the Falcons missed a field goal to go to overtime. The Chargers took this team to overtime. They haven't won by 7 points. They haven't won a game by 7 points since, like, I was wearing t-shirts outside. For real. And that's not any sort of cause for concern. They kind of just like just do enough to win. And you know, the last few weeks, they've been getting off the field on third down. It used to seem like they picked up every third down, third and 15, third and 9, no problem. Here's Kelce. Here's, you know, here's little, you know, Mahomes scrambling. You're not, none of that concerns you whatsoever. When you see the Bills out here just like beating teams by 3 touchdowns every week.
I really love the progression of the Bills. It's great to see Moss hit pay dirt. Diggs get 3 touchdowns. Allen, you know, can beat you in the pocket, outside the pocket. You know, we talked about on this show, one thing I like about him is he's just a football player. Like, I like that about, I like when he's going out of bounds and he's trying to stiff arm. I like that about him. And yeah. So.
I like that too. McCourty knocked the ball right out of his hands.
Yeah, yeah, but I love that. I'm watching all of that. I'm here for it. And the thing I actually really took from the game, Cam looked really bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know he has some shoulder issues, and we talked all season once he starts after the first, well, not all season, at least after the first 2 or 3 games, about how, like, the trajectory of his throw starts high, but it ends up on the ground.
Yeah.
At the ankles. At the feet. Uncatchable ball. Jacoby was wide open.
Yeah. I mean, that one play that you're referencing when it was – I mean, he's been throwing low sort of like all season, but that one was like – there no pressure, nice throwing lane, you know, and this isn't like a 20 yards down the field, like 8 yards down the field. It doesn't get, throw him at his ankle, don't throw at his ankles, Jalen. It hit the ground before it even reached him. Like, that's just weird. That's weird. Like, if I was at the beach throwing the football around and I did that, I would apologize to my friend.
So that, I took that away from the game as well. I don't know if it's a shoulder injury or whatever it is, but like, they're going to bench him. I would think 3-2-1, you're going to look down at the ticker and Stidham going to be starting just to save Cam from himself right now. But shout to the NFL, though, for getting through a season. Many people felt that they would not do it.
Remember those Titans?
It happened.
Remember when the Titans were going and the Steelers were going and the Broncos didn't have a quarterback? And now the Browns,
17.
The Browns had to show up. And Baker Mayfield was just like, "Hi, nice to meet you. I'm Baker." They're like, "Nice to meet you. I'm your receiving core." Mm-hmm. Like, they made it through. They're going to get to the playoffs and, you know, they're going to have a Super Bowl champion one way or the other. I guarantee it. And Jalen, would you rather see who's making it to the playoffs? Now, all the different playoff scenarios are impossible, so I can't break them all down for you. But we basically got Ravens, Dolphins, Colts.
Oh, let me tell you, why are you going
and Browns.
There? Let me tell you one of the things that happened during the season as I slowly watch teams either outplay or underperform expectations. And then in my mind, I just see a couple of their games and be like, they're all right, but they're not real this year. So let me just tell you a couple of teams I saw that happen to. One of them was the Rams. Like, when I saw them, remember, I didn't like that 49ers loss. Mm. And then they lost to the Jets. Same with the Raiders. Like, the Raiders had, like, one of those – they had, like, the last second win against
the Jets.
The Jets.
Yeah.
But then they lost 4 or 5 other games in a row. You know what I'm saying? Right? Our Cardinals.
I was about to say the same thing. Next up is our Cardinals.
But they kind of, to be honest, where I anticipated them being. Like, I didn't think that they were on, like, Seattle's level yet. You know? I didn't think that.
But I felt like if they got to win a game to get in the playoffs, they should be able to do it. You know? Like, come on, Cardinals.
Well, we got to get Kyler healthy. Hopefully his leg is all right. They should just feed D-Hop. I don't understand. Sometimes it go NBA on them.
Yeah, be like, until you stop this, we're going to keep going to him. Right, yeah.
That's what they was doing with Diggs, dog. That's what they was doing with Kamara. Like, oh, okay, y'all can't stop it up the middle.
Fine. Yeah. NBA is good. It's like, we're going to do a Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic pick and roll at the top of the key until you do something that stops us from doing that. That's what we're going to do.
That's exactly what the Bills be doing. Josh Allen, like, where Diggs at? All right. What happened to the Patriots? Oh, they make you go to your weaknesses.
Yeah, oh, Bill Belichick's he takes away your biggest weapon. That's what he does every time. That's his strategy.
Okay.
Y'all took away Singletary, but Diggs is out here running out of touchdown dances. Like his third touchdown, he's kind of like, I don't even know. I was like, I only had a couple plays.
What to do?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I guess I'm just gonna give my teammates a little headbutt and a high five, like a normal person.
And by the way, my least favorite touchdown celebration is when they throw the football at the backstop.
I like it. I disagree. That's passion. That's just adrenaline. That's just excitement. I like that. Oh, I like that one when they're just mad and excited. Yeah, that's pure. That's pure to me. You know what I mean? I don't like the like seven people choreographed. I'm a fake roll of bowling ball and you guys fall over. Like, nah. Like, you know what I mean? Just show me the sheer excitement. That's what I like. I don't like the choreography.
The time and place for every choreography.
So, Jay, we always say the MVP conversation is a little played out in sports media, right? Like, people are already having about the NBA, right? It's like we're three games in. It's like, could Trae Young be an MVP? No, okay? We're three games in. But my question for you is this. Now, we have legit full season with one game left in the NFL. Who's your NFL MVP?
Oh, MVP? See, this is the
uh-oh.
So like I'm going Mahomes slightly ahead of Aaron Rodgers, and here's why. Because Mahomes is having a career year, Kelce is having a historic year, and so is the Cheetah. Aaron Rodgers equals Mahomes. Kelce equals Adams. Hill, a little bit more than Jones. I give Mahomes the edge because those guys are having unparalleled career years.
Jalen, we have a little bit of time before our guests. I want to get to an important story that we want to discuss. Two things, all right? Quickly, Jalen. Ready? Very quickly. Number one, your favorite drink, breast milk, is potentially being used as a way to fight COVID, treat COVID. Jalen, are you going to get some breast milk?
Jacoby, I was born in 73, dog. Like, that was a rite of passage. That was just like a part of your childhood. Like, whip it out anywhere at any time.
Would you drink breast milk that you didn't know the source? Like, would you just any breast milk, or do you have to see the breast? What if it's frozen? What if it's pumped breast milk that's been frozen and sent to your door? Like that seems doesn't have the same sort of like allure as fresh from the source.
No, it doesn't. It's like cologne. Yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing, though. I told you in the early 70s, I called myself Dr. J, and when I fought because of the great, legendary Julius the Dr. Irving, was one of my idols, dog, on and off the floor. He had class, he was handsome, he was well dressed, he's great, great player, ABA, NBA, had amazing afro, like all of that. And so when we started doing this show, I told you about the amazing benefits and what breast milk has done for me in my life, but you dismissed it. And all I know is this: COVID is a very serious thing that's taking place, and I sympathize for all of the families that have been affected, that have lost loved ones. This is the most unique holiday season, like the greatest depression. We're wearing masks, so I don't want to make light of any of this. But Jacoby, I'm telling you, I've done a great job of physically distancing. I've done a great job of quarantining and recording from home like we're doing right now and really being grounded. But then I also tell myself, you know, it is something that it seems like all of us at some point in time can be exposed to. Mm-hmm. So I can't front. Each time that I've taken a test, I was surprised that it was negative. Because like I joked with you, I was like, it seems like all of us directly or indirectly have had it or been exposed to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether every we show time, symptoms
we
or not.
We get tested every week here at the studio. It's just like, it's every week. I'm looking for that email. I'm looking for that green box. Is it a red box or a green box?
Right.
Green box every week. Feels great.
Right. you know, people around you, family members, whatever.
Yeah, but, of course.
And then, so just by the grace. So everybody stay safe out there. You know, we hope to provide you, you know, a bit of an escape. This is why we came in on our off day. Thank you to our staff for turning on the boards and giving us a chance to do the pod today. We got a couple of great guests that we're going to have on the show today. And we like giving the people what they want.
Deion Taylor, director of Fatale, and star of Fatale, Michael Ealy, joining us on Jalen and Jacoby right now. As promised, joining us right now, we have the star and the director of the new film, Fatale, in theaters, soon to be on premium VOD on January 8th. It is Deion Taylor and Michael Ealy. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having us.
So first, we're going to talk about sports, of course, the NBA and the NFL later. But first, I want to ask you a question about this film. And Michael, I'm going to start with you. All right. I'm a married man. Jalen's married. You play a married man in this film who makes a mistake, makes a bad decision, has a one night stand with literally the worst person in the world to have a one night stand with, played by Hilary Swank. So without spoiling the film, tell us what goes wrong, starting with this bad decision from this married man.
I think it starts with, like, the lack of a background check, right? So, like, you know, this is an example of you got to do a background check. If you're gonna go left, like, do some research first. Because, I mean, like you said, I think I picked the worst person to slide out with. It was just, I mean, I don't know if it could have gotten worse. Like, it was the worst possible person. And, you know, look, you know, we all married. We all know sometimes marriage is hard. I think Derek was going through a rough patch. And, you know, I think, you know, the difference between Derek and a lot of other men is Derek got caught. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Derek got caught and it went bad. It went real bad. And, you know, I think the lesson to be learned is, you know, make sure you don't. You got to do some work. You can't just willy nilly it out here, man. It was intense. It was definitely the wrong person. I'm devastated by that move.
And that James Baldwin hoodie is so cold. Thank you guys for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it. We huge fans of both of you guys, and we're gonna go out and support. No question about it. Deion, what was the experience like directing this film with two stars like Hilary and Michael?
Man, it was incredible, man. I had an opportunity to work with Michael on The Intruder a year or so ago with him and Dennis Quaid. And I just fell in love with his work ethic. And also during that movie, because it was more of a popcorn thriller, there were some moments during that time where I was like, man, I wish I had a little bit deeper material for him to get into. So when Fatale came and I had Hilary Swank, you know, obviously she has the two Oscars. I'm like, I need to put her against somebody from the culture. And it was no question it was going to be Ealy. I knew that he had the talent and the skill set to stand against her and actually spar with her a whole film. And so having the two of them together, man, it was a few days on set where I was like, I just sat back. It was like, you know, LeBron, like you watching the game. You're like, oh, I'm going to just sit back and let them do what they do. But they're that good in the film, and the chemistry together is that good. And as a filmmaker, man, sometimes you have to work really hard to get performances. And then sometimes you have the luxury of having great stars that can actually just do the work, and you could actually just make tweaks. And this is what we got to do on this film. And look, it's incredible, man. I think, you know, the audience has responded. I'm excited about it. It feels a lot like a new type of Fatal Attraction. You know, a lot of people are kind of like, oh man, I think it's going to be the same old movie. And then everyone comes out the theater like, that ain't the same old movie. You know what I mean? But that's what we pride ourselves on, is making movies that audiences love. And, you know, you could actually escape for 2 hours.
Now, Michael, what was it like working with Hilary? Like, what's something that you wouldn't expect? Like, what was surprising about working with Hilary?
You know, honestly, like, she was kind of a dream to work with, because she just comes so prepared and brings such good ideas. and she's so collaborative. And, you know, as you know, any kind of work relationship is important. If you and Jalen aren't collaborating, it ain't no fun, right? Like, it's just, that's kind of the same thing when it comes to acting. Like, we have to be able to work together. We have to be able to give to each other. We have to be able to be there for each other. And Hillary was all of that and then some. So I was very lucky. I was excited to work with her. I was excited to, like, you know, when you play a sport, the best way to get better is to play somebody with more accolades than you, right? You want to go up against the best. You want to shoot with the best. You want to spar with the best. You want to hit back and forth with the best. And that's what it was with her. It was like, let's just go at it. Let's just have fun. And then at a certain point in the film, you can tell that she and I are in a scene, and it's like we're playing jazz, and it just becomes kind of beautiful to watch in certain scenes. And I give a lot of credit to Dion for maintaining a certain tone that is separate from what we did in The Intruder, that is separate from what he did in Traffic, you know, what is separate from what he did in Black and Blue. It's just a certain tone in this film that's very much an L.A. noir thriller, and it's very dark from the beginning.
Dion, how different is The Hustle? And I couldn't wait to ask you about this. How different is The Hustle as an independent filmmaker?
Man, it's tough. I mean, I think you know the answer to this, man. You dabble in film as well. And what's interesting, man, is coming from basketball, you know, I came from Gary, Indiana, so I already knew what the struggle was in life.
G.I.
G.I. in the building, man. But what's interesting is it's extremely hard, man, when you got to go through the back door in anything. You know what I mean? When you got to figure it out. And I often tell people I'm the product of no. Meaning I went to Hollywood, had a script, had the backpack, had the people. Like, I'm like, yo, I got these people, and knocked on every door out there, and everyone told me no for years. You know, I remember being like, damn, man, am I that bad? You know what I mean? That I can't get a yes nowhere, and watching other people constantly get, you know, opportunities. And finally, somebody came to me and was like, yo, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be very real with you. Do you know what a producer does? I'm like, yeah, a producer is a person that makes the movie, get the money. And I'm like, I got all these great answers. And he was like, no, a producer produces the money and makes the movie. And I'm going like, what do you mean? He was like, the only way you're gonna get your movie made is if you go make it yourself. And after 5 years of completely being broke, sleeping on people's floors, I finally had one idea where I was like, damn, I can control my destiny. I can go get money and go make my own film. And that put me on a different trajectory, man. And, you know, it had it not been for those years of not having, those years of being told no, those years of being like, damn, I think I'm gonna die. Then, you know, once I get a film up, I wouldn't understand how blessed I was to have that. And now it becomes the craft, you know what I mean? Are you prepared to outwork everybody? Do you have a better idea than everybody? You know what I mean? And that's kind of what's pushed me and motivated me to be here now. You know, we've made, you know, now 10 independent films in, you know, whatever it's been, 7, 8 years. You know what I mean? And now teetering at $100 million in the box office independently. But that's a very, very hard road to travel. But if it was easy, everyone would do it. You know what I mean? And the fact is, there's nothing easy in life if you really, you know, pursuing something that you want, a dream. So I would tell everybody out there, former basketball players, you know, I've seen a lot of guys come into the business and spend a bunch of money fast because they got some great producer or some great writer. That ain't it, man. The idea is like, can you make something that people want to go see? And is it something that you want to actually put on the screen, not what everybody else wants?
Well put. Now, Michael, you're a fan of the Washington football team. I just want to just break some news to you, perhaps, that they just waived their starting quarterback after he went to a strip club and y'all trying to make the playoffs. As a fan of this team, when you see that news that they waived the starting quarterback after he went to a strip club when y'all trying to get in the playoffs, how does it feel?
Okay, first and foremost, I don't think that was the first strike. Okay? I mean,
wasn't exactly tearing it up on the field either. That didn't help.
He wasn't tearing it up on the field. I think if his performance on the field was you know, out of this world. If he shows, you know, an incredible work ethic, I think Ron Rivera is the type that will hold on and, and push through some of the off the field antics. I think there's a, I'll be honest with you. I think I wasn't mad about that. And here's why. You can't preach organizational change and then be tolerant of, like, you know, the same old, same old. If you're going to change the culture of the organization, change it. And I think he let everybody know from the top to the bottom, this is how it's going to go from here on out. And I respect that and I appreciate that, because it's time for this organization to make serious changes. Started with the name, it's starting with the, you know, the culture of how things get done there. And, you know, I grew up with this team, like, winning, and there was a culture there, and these guys knew how to win. And we lost our way. I'll just say it. We lost our way. We've been lost for a long time now, and it's brutal, right? And so, you know, I'm tired of, like, Dallas always being in the mix and always going to be, like, one game away from making the Super Bowl, and they suck every year. Like, every year. I say it. All Dallas fans, y'all lose every year, but every year, for some reason, just because y'all Dallas, y'all somehow get qualified to be in the playoffs. Nah. We got a winning tradition in Washington. We got a winning tradition in Washington. And I like that Ron Rivera is putting everybody on notice. We are going to change the culture. We're going to do it right. And that's, you know, that's how we got to do it. I'm not mad at that. You don't want to show up. You don't want to be a leader on this team. Look at what Alex Smith just came back from. This dude almost died. And he, like, came back, worked his way back into the starting lineup, won 3 or 4 games in a row, and it was like, okay. And so it was like, you know, I think you got to buy into the system, and I think all athletes need to kind of learn that at a certain point. I think that's the only way you're going to learn how to have a winning culture, quite frankly.
Deion, you're a Bears fan. I heard you getting your key-keying in over there. Y'all had some struggles this year.
Yeah.
You know, with y'all quarterback position, looks like Trubisky's been playing better as of late. What do you do about that position moving forward?
He not playing great as of late. He balling. What you talking about, man? He on fire. You tripping right now. Right now, you know what happens in the NFL, man. If somebody balling, you leave him alone. That's the bottom line. Like, right now, he the star. And we got to rock with that, man. And we got to root for him. Look, last year, I wanted to kick him in the face. You know what I mean? Like, last year, I was personally going to fly down there and kick him in his face. But now I'm like, damn, man, you the truth. No, but I think it's good for the Bears, man. We've had, like, some very hard years. And, the city needs it, man. Like, we need it. You know what I mean? Like, I like that he's playing well. I have no idea what's going on with the Bulls. You know, I don't know if we need to – you need to make a call, Jalen, and go down there and see what you can do to be an owner of the team, because at this
point – I'm wearing the colors.
You got to go figure this out for us, man, because it's like the Bears always are kind of in contention, but this has been interesting to watch the quarterback play. I think he will stay I think he's actually found his way. And I know that sounds crazy, but it takes time sometimes to adjust to get to. All right, we watch it. Let me say this real fast.
This dude is a fan.
I feel like for Washington, I feel bad for that kid, man, because it's too often that you understand what the background of that is. You know what I mean? Like, we have a lot of players that come into the league, NBA and NFL, that don't know how to be professional because of how they were brought up or because of whatever circumstances they come from. So they just don't have the knowledge. And now you got to sit back and watch and see what's going to happen with him. You know what I mean? Because he just literally, no matter what type of statement he makes, he literally just got kicked off an NFL team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And bro, I'm telling you, man, as a young black man, that's tough, man, when you don't know how to deal with organizations and don't know how to be professional. And you know what I mean? And, you know, even when you get older, we're seeing that right now a little bit. Not that he doesn't know how to deal with it, but sometimes we get in the way of ourselves, man. And I think we don't understand that the whole world is watching, and that although you're a professional athlete, you're also someone that everyone is actually looking to. So you can't be regular. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. James Harden, that situation to me is crazy too. I'm going like, damn, James, like, you know, you can't be in the strip club with platinum briefcases, man. we know what's really going on.
Don't, you know, those phones have cameras.
What you talking about? Yeah, and the strippers got cameras too. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We're trying to trade you, James. James, we're trying to trade you. You're not helping. Help me trade you, James. This is not helping me trade you.
Hey, Cody, I got to ask one question to Ely, please, now that we're talking about strip clubs and things of that nature. I've been really fortunate to actually appear in a movie with that superstar, Barbershop. And I've watched both of you guys' careers grow, and I'm really happy for you and proud of you. But Michael Ealy, not only are you a great actor, but also you've become a heartthrob in the industry.
Heartthrob?
So what is it like? What is it like when you look down and get these scripts and you get certain sex scenes and opportunities with certain people in the industry? How does that make you feel? And how have you grown into that role?
Well, first of all, I think that's an in-studio question. My wife is upstairs.
Got you.
Working from home.
My answer is going to be very, very civilized in that.
Yes, it should be.
I think, I think it's kind of interesting. I did a project years ago where I played an android, and it's called Almost Human. And it was the first time, and I didn't realize this until I got into shooting the series. I realized this is the first time where I'm going to play a character that more than likely won't have a love interest of any kind, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was actually a challenge. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it until I kind of looked back on my career and realized, wow, like I've never not had a love interest. I've never not kind of got busy on screen. Like my career has kind of been, to a lot of guys, I've been blessed, right? To a lot of guys, I've been blessed and I'm lucky. And I get at like a lot. But like for me, it's almost like the challenge now is how do I do something different? How do I flip the script? How do I, continue to challenge myself? Because I can do that stuff now. With ease. It's not, mm-hmm. It's like a choreography thing. It's with ease. It's not as exciting as it used to be, so to speak, especially since I got married. And then on top of that, I think, for me, it's like I'm now just getting to the point where having kids has kind of opened me up to this whole new world. And now I want to play fathers. I want to try and play fathers. I want to play the complexity of what it is to be a husband, to be a father, and what does that look like now? So that's kind of where I'm going next. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, right.
Well, Mike, it's easy for you to say, I want to move on. You've had Halle Berry. You've had Taraji P. Henson. You've had Joey Bryant. You had Hilary Swank. I mean, it's pretty easy once you've had everybody, man. Like, now you just gotta move on with my career. Like,
Beyonce.
Yeah, so now it's very easy for you to be like, I'm done with that. Like, yeah, you got 10
like I said, I didn't say I wasn't blessed. I've had a fruitful career. But, you know, the time has come to pass that baton onto the youngin'.
Let them...
Might be Jalen. You might be up next, man. You up?
No, what it is, this is the classic Derek Jeter moment. Okay, right. Where all of the championships became a Hall of Famer. Now he going into ownership.
That's what it is. Great point, Jalen.
I'll take that.
I appreciate you taking the time, but I have one more question before y'all. Before you go, Okay. Again, Fatale is available premium VOD on January 8th. It's in theaters right now, where you're allowed to go to theaters. But both of y'all still look like you have game. Both of y'all still look like you can ball. Are you getting shots up? How often are we playing? Do we have a rec league? Like, what is your current basketball relationship with the playing the sport of basketball?
All day. Killing. Might know. Killing, man. Killing. Look, I'm telling y'all right now, man, I didn't get to make it to the league. So I still got dreams. So I'm still out here killing it. I'm still in the courts, man. 24-Hour Fitness, LA Fitness, wherever you can find me. I'm still on tour.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw this out there right now. But not only do I got the best game as a filmmaker in Hollywood. Okay, let's just leave
uh-oh.
That there.
Uh-oh.
Okay. I'm throwing a challenge out to anybody that hears this. But secondly, man, I just had the young rookie Kyle Guy from the Kings at my house. And I'm going to post a video again so y'all can see me outshoot him too. Right? Kyle hit the game winner in the preseason.
He did.
Right? And now that's thanks to me. Because I said, Kyle, you gotta get your forearm and your elbow in, man. So right now, I'm still hooping. I love it. My knee hurt, but it's all good. I don't know what Ely's doing, man. Last time I seen him, I think you was with Kenny Smith on Inside the NBA.
Yeah, in a suit.
I think you missed
in
all your
suit.
Shots.
I made two
fit
of
too
them.
Good. Two fit too well. Well,
Dion,
let me tell you something. The problem is, you say you didn't make the league, so you're still playing. It's all the dudes that actually made the league, they can't run or walk anymore. You just see Jalen try to run across the street. You talk about Kenny Smith, you see him run to the board. They play too much basketball. You still got some basketball in you because you didn't expend it all in your early life.
Well, Kenny, who's my brother, he got a little bit something else going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, what's happening. He got a lot of something going on.
Kenny be working out, though, man. Kenny look good. He looked like he lost 30 pounds, man. He might be trying to get back.
Man, the only way I'm losing 30 pounds is you cut off my leg. That's the only way I'm losing 30 pounds. That's it. Thank you so much, Deion Taylor, Michael Ealy, for joining us on Jalen and Jacoby. Welcome back anytime. Fatale is out on Premium VOD on January 8th and in theaters, wherever you can find it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
I want to thank Michael Ealy and Deion Taylor for coming through and joining us on Jalen and Jacoby. And Jalen, we're preempted for a while. Next time we're back is 2021. We will be back. Why is that?
Happy New Year to everyone. Stay safe. Love one another. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.